book of Acts. Go to Acts chapter 28 this morning. Acts chapter 28 as we come to the last couple chapters of this awesome book. I mentioned our last time together that we'd be spending 2 or 3 weeks in these last couple chapters, and as of this morning, that's still the case. And although we're going to be going over some of the same verses, it will be from a different angle, so don't panic when you see me read some of the same verses again. Can God move on the hearts of some people to give some stuff that'll wind up in Africa and Asia and South America? Yep. Can God move on the heart of an apostle named Paul to go all the way to Rome and to share the gospel there? Yep. Can God move upon our hearts? Does he have something he wants to do in our lives? And the answer is an equally strong yes. And I pray this morning will encourage all of us to seek and discover what he has for us. You may remember we left off with Paul on an island called Malta. We considered that last time. From that, we saw that God, of course, has his plan. His plans are always unfolding. We learned there is no coincidence in the life of a believer, but rather God's plans are always unfolding. And so with that in mind, we talked about we should always be sensitive to what God is doing around us to be available for his work. Well, this morning, we're going to continue to gather some important things from these couple of chapters. Turn with me now. We're at Acts chapter 28. Let's jump into verse 11. This is just after Paul and the other guys, their time. Remember, Paul is a prisoner. If you haven't been following with us, just let you know, Paul is a prisoner at this point. He is being taken to Rome to face Caesar, and they've been through a horrible storm. They shipwrecked on an island called Malta. After 3 months there, they're going to embark upon the rest of their journey to Rome. Verse 11, after 3 months, we sailed in an Alexandrian ship whose figurehead was the twin brothers, which had wintered at the island. And landing at Syracuse, we stayed 3 days. And from there, we circled round and reached Rhegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and the next day we came to Puteoli, where we found brethren and were invited to stay with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. And from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and Three Inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. Now when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him. Much here this morning, but let's try to zero in here and use our time profitably, hopefully. Funny how a lot can be condensed sometimes in a few words. You know, you can hear a statement, I lost my job. And there can be a whole lot involved in that, huh? And lots of different statements, thus and thus happened, or this occurred, and a whole lot can be packed in a small sentence. Well, we see that right here. For what I want us to look at is the statement at the beginning of verse 16. So straightforward, and yet there's so much wrapped up in it. Verse 16 begins, now when we came to Rome. Now that might seem pretty innocent, and what's the big deal? Well, we're going to consider what that represents this morning. And not just for Paul. Not just for this as some sort of intellectual or historical discussion. Because, believer, we're going to see, as there was a Paul in Rome, there was a Rome for Paul, meaning a calling, something he had for him. Equally, we're going to see there are Rome, and we'll see the analogy in a moment, but there are Romes for every one of us, meaning there's a calling. There's a place God has for each of us. Have you discovered your place? Are you walking in your place? Are you hungry to know that place? This morning, hopefully, you're going to encourage us in this journey of discovering the Rome that God has for all of us. And you know what? Paul's path is going to help us along our journey to our Rome. I've called our time together this morning, when we came to Rome. Let's pray. Father, in your love, you sent your Son. You reached down to us, made known our need and your answer. Father, in your mercy and grace, you brought all that together. So for each one who's received, we sit here saved. Our entire destiny's changed, headed home to you. But Lord, thank you that wasn't to put us on the shelf in the meantime. But rather, you truly give our lives purpose, real meaning. Lord, help us this morning to rejoice in that, to move forward in it. Maybe for some, just to really be alerted to it, to seek to discover it. We're just saying, Lord, from Paul's journey, help us be strengthened and fortified for our journey. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It had been in Paul's heart to go to Rome for a long time. Way back in chapter 19, while Paul was still in Ephesus, we read this. When these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome. Not that he wanted to sightsee, but he knew that Rome was the center of civilization in those days. All roads led to Rome, as the saying goes. And he wanted to go there for the purpose of sharing the gospel at that center of civilization, namely Rome. But it wasn't just in Paul's heart for Paul to go there, but it was in the Lord's heart also. Indeed, Paul's desire to go to Rome was simply the outworking of what God had put in Paul, and that was this desire that people there would hear the gospel. Remember the night we studied it, when Paul was in Jerusalem, and he was in jail, and things had seemingly gone so bad for him? Well, there we read this, but the following night the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome. So we see that Paul's desire, in this case to go to Rome, was simply an outworking of God's desire that he'd put in Paul's heart. And God does the same for us. God puts on our heart his desires, his will, that which he sees needs to be done and is going to be the purpose and that which gives our lives meaning, raises us above just the things of the world and our days and all. Before we set sail with Paul, though, I want us to consider this that fact. I want us to make sure we lay hold of that. See, it's possible that we could say, well, yeah, we all have a destination in life. It's called heaven. And that would be totally true. If you receive Christ as Savior, we're headed home to heaven. Thank God for the change he's made about that. But there's more here for us this morning than just that. Paul's ultimate destination was heaven also. But that's not what the text is about, is it? The whole book of Acts are the Acts of the Apostles. And in this case, we're looking at that which God wanted to do in and through Paul, his purpose for having Paul here. In this case, it was to get to Rome to share. Believer, we have a call on our life. The Bible's clear. Again, we're not saved just to go on hold, but that we might discover and walk in fellowship and abide in the Lord. First things first, to get the vertical connected and abide in him. But in that relationship, then there is an outworking of that, so to speak, as he works his plans and purposes in our lives. And the encouragement this morning is to not come short of that, to not settle for less than all God has for us. I guess I'm just trying to say there are Romes for all of us. The Bible describes, Paul, the same Paul describes in his letter to the Corinthians, how all of us will become part of the body of Christ, that's exactly the case. We receive Christ as Savior, then we become part of his body. And Paul used that analogy of a body. And he says a body has several parts. And all parts are necessary. We're not all the same part. We have different parts, just like our body has different parts. Well, so we are part of a body now, this family in the Lord. And we all have our part in that. We are parts of his body. And all parts are necessary for the functioning of the body. When we don't discover that and walk in it, we miss out. And it impacts the whole body. The body needs all its parts. And it's a blessing to discover those parts, to be that part. Unfortunately, too many people, I found, they don't really actively seek that. And again, they and the body suffers for the fact that sometimes we stay about the things of our days on the horizontal, but we don't let them be something God uses or work in. We don't seek the bigger plans, the bigger purposes that he wants to work in all of it. Now, some of us might say, Pastor, that's not my problem. I want to discover God's plan. I want to know his will for my life, but I can't seem to. I have great difficulty in hearing what God would want to do and how he wants to use me. We sang, I wait on the Lord. So begin there, wait on the Lord. But you know, I found sometimes when people say, well, I can't find it, it's because I think maybe sometimes we misunderstand how this whole thing of being led works. In God's mercy and grace, He has called me in a couple of ways in my life that He fulfilled. I didn't see how He was going to do it, but He did it. And He brought those things to pass in my life. But not once did He choose to ride it across the sky in lightning. But sometimes we kind of want that. Well, Lord, I'm kind of feeling nudged this direction, and I kind of have a burden for this area. But Lord, make it big. Send a prophet, ride it across the sky. He does. I have a good friend that's a pastor, been a pastor for years. He says, you remember when he first came to the Lord, he said, Lord, send two angels to me. Well, he still to this day would tell you, well, the angels never did show up, but God got hold of him. Because he learned it's God putting on our heart these desires. It's Lord nudging us in certain directions. And it doesn't have to be a complicated thing. When God begins to put on your heart a burden for the children, go try it out. Test it out. Go give it a try. Or whatever it might be, to go talk to somebody or whatever it is. Point is, God wants to do things. And most often when people say they don't know what it is, I suspect maybe we're trying to overanalyze. Instead of just saying, Lord, I sense maybe you're saying this. And then you go for it and you find out. I love seeing people go for it to find out. And if it shouldn't be the area, it's not the end of the world. Say, okay, well, keep on pressing on. But I find He does direct us. He does open doors. So what I'm saying is God is so often actually is speaking, but people aren't acting on what they've heard. I encourage you to let this time move you forward in that if you haven't yet acted on what God is showing you. But now that we've established that we have a journey, just like Paul had a journey which he was fulfilling God's call on his life, we've established that we also have that. Having said that, go back to chapter 27. Going to go back to verse 1. We began there last week. Don't panic. We're just going to read a couple of verses again to set the context for all of us. May the Lord speak to our hearts this morning about this. And when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, remember he's in prison and he's being held in Caesarea, but now they're going to head off to Rome. They delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment. So entering a ship of Adramyttium, we put to sea, meaning to sail along the coast of Asia. Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, was with us. So Paul and the other prisoners now, they get put on board the ship and off they go. And it's meaning to be a fairly straight shot, you know, a nice little journey over to Rome. Off they go. Well, again, let's sail with Paul. And as we look at what he went through, let's see if there's some lessons for us to learn in our fulfilling of our calling to the Rome that God has for us. First of all, let me just highlight this. We're going to see that this voyage is actually going to take about 6 months for them to arrive in Rome. Now, it should not have taken anywhere near that time to get there. So it wasn't by their design it took so long. But what we see when it's all over, it was in God's design. For God was in charge of the timing. That's the first thing to remember in this voyage of discovering and walking in God's will for our life. And that is this. The timing of this whole journey with the Lord, the timing of this voyage, the timing of discovering God's purposes and plans and the fulfilling of those, they are in God's keeping, not ours. Has this journey been longer than you think it should be? What you're going through, what you're facing, especially determining finding God's will or the living out of God's will. Maybe you feel He's called you to something, but it's taking a while for it to come about and to start going or get going or whatever it is. Remember this, God is never late. Just make sure we're not the one slowing down the process. Make sure we're not the weak link in this thing. But just be available and be responsive and trust His timing. It's going to take them a lot longer than they thought it should, but it's going to be right in God's timing the whole way. But secondly, also notice this. If we were to get a map and plot out the various places they're going to go on this journey, you're going to see, we would see, that it is by far not the straightest route to get from point A to B. To get from Caesarea to Rome, here's a straight shot. they're going to bounce all over the place to get there. You ever feel like your journey's bouncing all over the place? Lord, I thought we were going there. Lord, I had in mind what you were doing, and now you totally took this right turn. What's that about? And then you put me in over here at this port to wait a while over here. What's that about? Lord, there we're going. Let's go. But God's going to have something for Paul in all these different things he's going to do. So it wasn't the straightest route, but it was God's route. And the same for us. Trust God's timing and trust God's path and where he's taking you through. And sometimes we can be so, have our eyes on the destination, we miss out on what he wants to do along the way. So notice this, the timing, the route, it's all in God's keeping. Even though we don't fail to point those things out to him, trust him for it all. Well, at this point now, they shove off. They're headed from Caesarea to Rome, going across what we call the Mediterranean Sea there. Well, they encounter a really great storm, a very strong, vicious storm. I know we never face storms in life, but you can kind of think of that's facetious. Of course we do. That's the analogy. Yes, we hit storms. And notice this. Paul is responding to God's call. He's going the way God said, in God's timing, going to go where you said, Lord. Now a storm. The fact that we run into storms, that does not automatically mean they were out of God's will. They were out of God's calling. You don't see the storm hit and the Lord said, oh, Paul, I goofed up. You know what? Let's take you back to Caesarea. We'll start again next year. No. They press on. The call remained even though he faced a storm. The same for us. The call upon our life remains no matter what circumstances come along. Because as we saw last week, God's in charge. We can trust him and no matter what storms we face. Well, we have to head off now. Let's jump in. Go on to verse 13. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, meaning that it was going to be good sailing, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose called Euroclydon. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. And running under the shelter of an island called Clauda, we secured the skiff. The skiff is a little boat that they put in the big boat with difficulty. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest they should run aground on the Syrta sands, they struck sail and so were driven. They just let her go. We're being knocked everywhere. We're not in control. They just said, no, let's just let it drive us where it's going. We can't make headway any other way here. But I want us to notice something in verse 17 here. They took the skiff on board so they wouldn't lose the little boat. It says, then they used cables to undergird the ship. You ever had a time in your life when you felt like you're going to come apart at the seams? I sure have. But notice what they did. See, those boats were made out of wood. And they're getting knocked around so strong that they're feeling like, you know what? It's going to knock this boat in pieces. It's going to cause the wood to separate. We're going to go it down. And so they threw big ropes and everything under the ship. They just threw all these ropes and stuff under the ship to try to tie the ship together. You ever been there? I sure have. When if it wasn't for God sustaining me and strengthening me and undergirding me, I would have come apart at the seams, no doubt about it. If God is not the glue, I'm a goner. But he is our glue, and he is faithful. But I want us to learn the important lesson here for our journey. When you feel like everything's going to pull you apart, let him wrap us about with himself, his very presence. Not religion, I won't see you through the storm. Not our little oaths and creeds and everything, it's his very presence. Undergird yourself with him. Wrap ourselves up in his nature, his character, his provision, his gifts, his strength, his word, his truth. Wrap ourselves up in him so we can sustain ourselves and be strong in the storm so they won't pull us apart at the seams. Don't lean on your own strength. Oh, I can do this. Don't don't say, well, I can just pull up my bootstraps and I'll make it through. That's not enough. The storm's too strong. Let him undergird us by drawing close and hiding ourselves in him. Verse 18, the next thing they do in the storm, and because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lighten the ship. I wonder if anybody today needs to lighten the load. In the midst of your storm, in the midst of what you're facing, I wonder if, truth be told, your boat's not potentially about to sink because you got something you're carrying you're never meant to carry. Do you need to lighten the load this morning for the journey God's called you to do? There can be those weights of sin and all this, and the things of this world that so easily beset us. We need to lay them aside. There can be just those things of life. But Jesus told us to come unto Him. All you that are heavy laden, you're heavy burdened, come unto Me. I'll carry that. You were never designed to carry some of the things you're trying to carry, He would say. Quit trying to do it on your own. And let Him be to you, to me, to all of us, what only He can be and what we need Him to be. I wonder if somebody needs to lighten the load this morning. Verse 19, on the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. They're really saying, I got to get rid of everything that's going to weigh me down. Everything going to get in the way of God's work. I've got to cast all these things. I got to jettison this stuff that's getting in the way of me discovering and walking in what God has for me. Again, cast on Him that stuff. We were never designed to carry all the things we often try to carry and sail with. On the third day, they got rid of the tackle. Verse 20, now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days. Remember, that's how they navigated in those days. No small tempest beat on us, and all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. But after a long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. I told you that. But, and now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. How could he say that? For there stood by me this night. See that? After all the getting things out of the way, jettisoning all the load, getting our eyes vertical again, there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. We studied this more in depth last week, but it's just a good reminder in all this that if we go through this journey and we're being buffeted and all, find God's promises, lay hold of God's promises, trust God's word. And that's what we see Him doing here. God has told me, I'm going to believe it. I believe it. Always keep that in mind. Keep the goal in view for what God's called you to do. And keep wrapped up in and focused on the nature of the one who's called us and how this whole thing works. Well, to save some time, allow me to summarize. They do go forward. They get to an island. They're on the outside of this island. On the outside, there's big reefs apparently and rocks and everything else. They try to make for shore, but their ship runs aground. It's being beat up. It's being thrashed. Jump into verse 30. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea under pretense of putting out anchors from the prow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall off. These sailors are now facing a very, very great temptation that many of us, perhaps in this room right now, are facing in our journey and in our storm. Namely this. Because the waves were so fierce, because their situation was scary, they were ready to jump ship. I'm out of here. This is getting too tough. The storm's too much. I don't think we're going to make it. I'm going to jump ship. And in jumping ship, it'd be the proverbial out of the pan into the fire. Nothing good would come for them. Nothing good would happen if they do that here. I wonder how many this morning are thinking about jumping ship. You know the Lord. You belong to the Lord. He's got a call upon your life. Maybe you're in ministry. Maybe you've been responding to Him in some way. Whatever it might be, you're being used by Him. You're moving forward with Him. But at the same time, you're facing some rough, rough storms. And you feel like you're going to just, okay, this one's going to definitely break up the ship. I mean, it's going to destroy my life. I need to get out of this whole thing. To them, the situation was just seemingly too great. And so they were ready to jump ship. And I wonder if someone right now, you feel the pressure is too great, the storm is too strong, and you're about to jump ship. About to jump out of that marriage because it's been getting so rough. Ready to jump out of that job, not going the way you thought it would. Ready to jump out of a ministry that God has called you into, but it hasn't gone well lately. So many temptations to jump ship. We look at others, oh, they don't have it tough like I do. Certainly they've got it better. You will never gain jumping out of God's will for your life. We've got to trust Him for His plan for each one of us. Friends, just as Paul says, so the Lord wants to say to us this morning, don't do it. Don't jump ship. Trust Him in whatever you're going through. What was their answer for this potential jumping ship? It's important that we learn this. What happens in verse 32? Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall off. They cut away the skiff, the little boat. These guys go, let's get out of this thing. Let's jump ship. Let's get in the little boat and get out of here. They said, uh-uh. The other guys came along and they just cut it away. This morning, what's the example? What's the analogy here? Cut away whatever it is that you're thinking of getting into to jump ship. Cut away that possibility from your life. Tear up that drug dealer's number as you've been thinking of recontacting because I could just use a little release right now. I think I'll go back into the old stuff I used to be into. Cut it away from your life. Cut away any thought of divorce as an option for healing that God wants to do there. Cut away the ways of the world that's tempting you and saying, oh, don't worry, don't get into that. You've just gotten too overboard. Don't be about God. Go your own way. Cut away the skiff. Get rid of anything that would allow you to jump ship, meaning jump out of God's will for your life. It might look tempting, but it's a lie. It will not get you what you think it will. Cut away that destructive relationship that you've been into or thinking about getting into. You know God doesn't have it for you. You know it wouldn't be a relationship that's of God, but you've been thinking of jumping ship with it. Cut away the skiff. Those thoughts, those imaginations, that fantasy life that you escaped to, cut it away. Bring those thoughts captive to God. They will not get you anywhere good. Thoughts lead to actions. Cut it away now. Confess it to God. Repent of it. Let Him have it. What am I saying? Cut the options loose. The ones the world's putting before you and the old life's putting before you and everybody puts before you. Anything that would give you a way to go other than God's way, cut the skiff loose. Stay in the ship. They're going to see Rome. And you'll see your Rome. You'll see God's will for your life. You see His plan unfolding in your life if you stay in the ship. Stay in His will. Well, at this point, they make it to land. We looked at that last week. They're on an island called Malta. There's some interaction there. And after 3 months there at Malta, they then head off to Rome. That brings us back to our focus verses for this morning. And I just have 2 points I want to bring up about those focus verses. There are two things in particular here that I'm drawn to for this morning. Let's look at them again. Remember in verse 11, it says, after 3 months, they jump on board the ship. Verse 12, they land at Syracuse. No, not New York. They stay 3 days there. And from there we circled around and reached Rhegium. And after one day the south wind blew, and the next day we came to Puteoli. That's the little markings in my Bible. For those of you who know the actual correct way, you can catch me later and fix that, but it's close enough. But they're in Puteoli. And what does it say? Where we found brethren and were invited to stay with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. However they came to be there, there are Christians there. There are believers there. And so they land here at this harbor, this little city, and they find believers. What might that have meant to this apostle on a journey? Think of it. Think of the encouragement. Think of what he'd been through. The false accusations, those trials, the appearing before political leaders and all, and the outcome of all that. So much so he had to appeal to Caesar. He's in chains. He's a prisoner. Gone through rough storms. And we can be like that. Things not going well. Circumstances just, Lord, are you sure? Storms and chains, so to speak, and just so many things going on and battering us and people not receiving it and down on us and everything else. Think what it meant for him to run into some believers and be able to stay there a week and just get the encouragement and the prayer that would come from that. Think of the importance of traveling together in discovering and walking God's call for us. That we don't have to find and head towards Rome by ourselves. Thank God for those he puts in our life. Now notice this. It says at that point, so we went towards Rome. The end of verse 14. And so we went towards Rome. The manner in which they're going towards Rome now. And they'll notice. Verse 15. And from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came out to meet us as far as Appii Forum and Three Inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. So first they get to a city where there are some believers. He stays with them for a week and gets the encouragement from them and stays with them. Then they head on out and they get to land. See, what they've done is they've arrived at the final port and now they're heading up the Appii Way, famous way, road that leads to Rome. But as they're now beginning to move forward, some Christians, remember Paul had written a letter to Rome some 3 years before or so, and some Christians and believers now come out to meet him on the way. Now, when I studied this, there were a number of estimates as to how far this would have been. Somewhere around 40-some miles from Rome out to that first one, the Appii Way. The Appii Forum there. And then about 33 miles, it says, from Rome out to the Three Inns. So he gets to about 40-some miles from Rome, and all of a sudden he runs into these other Christians who came out to specifically meet him. And then they're walking another 10 miles, another group meets him there. How far is San Diego, downtown San Diego, from here? I don't know. Maybe 15, 20 miles. I'm getting nobody. At least first service, I got some response. About 20 miles, Tim said, okay, 20 miles. So that tells us some of them walked as far as if you were to walk. There was no trolley back then. They walked as far as if you walked all the way downtown to San Diego, walked all the way back. Now think what that would have meant to Paul. How far do you and I go to encourage believers? How far do we go out of our way to be an encouragement to others? And if your first response is, well, we walked out of the way for me, then we're upside down. We're missing the point. Remember, we're seeking to discover how God wants to use us. And I found so many times when we get our eyes off ourselves, onto others, we get the blessing. We get strengthened. But the motive is to bless others and be a part in their life is the idea. So do we go out to meet and greet and encourage our brothers and sisters in their journey? Again, think what it would have meant to him. Wow, I'm going out to face Caesar. I'm a prisoner. I'm dragging these chains along. But I'm not alone. I'm not alone on my journey. Our family has been facing some storms. And there's been people in here, many of you, who've come out to meet us along the way. Thank God for you guys. Thank God for your prayers. Thank God for your kind words, for your encouragement. Thank God. But remember that. It means so much to all of us in our journey when someone just cares enough to meet us along the journey. Sometimes one of the most healing things you can do is just come along beside someone to encourage them in their journey. And so, notice this. In three verses, there are three separate groups mentioned. God recorded this for some reason. God moved upon Luke to write down, hey, guess what? We found some believers here. And more believers came to meet us here. And more believers came to meet us here. In this body of Christ, we're never to be lone rangers. And a body parts don't operate separately. That'd be pretty weird. But we're to co-labor together and fellowship together and encourage each other and recognize the importance of every single part of the body. And so we see that's what's going on here. God provided Paul support and encouragement each step of the way. He even had given him some traveling companions, Luke and Aristarchus, all along the way. God gives us and would call us to be traveling companions, co-laborers. Let's be available to be like that to others on their journey. But that brings us now to the second point here, verse 16. Now when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him. In spite of all the problems and all the trials and all the storms, we read that very important statement, when we came to Rome. God had promised it, and God fulfilled it. God did it. What God calls us to, He is faithful to enable us to. What He's begun, He's going to complete. And all along the way, He is at work. Our part, surrender, yield, stay in the boat, be all about Him, that we might find and discover His perfect will for our lives. What a blessing. Paul was called to Rome, therefore he must come there. And he did. And so it must be for us. Rome had seen a lot of great entrances. There had been generals coming back from victory in battle, big fanfare. There had been political emperors and district leaders and all making their way into Rome. Again, you've seen the movies. We get the idea of big fanfare going on as chariots and all these legions of horses and all for all these great political people showing up in Rome. On this day came a man that no fanfare. Got some chains on him. But has there ever entered into Rome a greater man? In God's economy, has there ever entered a greater man into Rome? Nope. Are you devalued by some people? Is not much fanfare for your life? Do you feel sometimes like, whoever notices me? In God's economy, he knew who was walking into town that day. That's Paul. And that's my man. And I'm going to use him greatly. And think of all the kings that have come and gone. And think of all the leaders, the generals that have come and gone. But the message on Paul's lips, the message on Paul's heart resounds down to this day. Think about it. Who showed up into town that day? When God leads you into somewhere, don't worry about whether you're well known or famous or who's acknowledging it. When you're in God's will, well done will be what you hear. And he knows who it is and what he's doing. So don't worry about the response and the acclamation of people. Trust how God is working. So the call this morning, lay hold of God's call for you. Paul said that. He said, I'm going to lay hold of why I was laid hold of. And may that be our calling. And it doesn't have to be a big mystery. Pray and step out. Start going for it. Kind of experiment, so to speak. You got a bird on your heart, a nudge in some direction to get involved in something? To help out somewhere, to call on someone, go for it. And we'll learn to hear his voice from, oops, guess that wasn't him, but that's okay. Another time it is, but you grow in it. In particular, we have a path. We have a place in the body of Christ. Don't settle for less than that. I know my own life. When he brought to pass the things that I couldn't see how he was going to do it, but he did it. I remember talking at the time. It felt like, you ever tried to put on like a tight glove, like a latex glove or something, and it just isn't working. But then all of a sudden you get the glove in the right place and pop. And that's what it felt like. I remember my life. It's when I finally said, Lord, I surrender. I'll say you're going to do it, but I really strongly sense you saying, go this way. So here I go. Pop. And it began to fit. It began to have purpose. Things in my life began to be used for him and all. And you know that. Many of you know that same thing. But I'm encouraging all of us, don't come short of all God has. Remember, the Lord said, Paul, you will testify of me in Rome. The Lord said, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar. Sure enough, we read, when he came to Rome. God is faithful to his promises. He's faithful to his own. Trust him. I'm going to invite the worship team up to wrap us up this morning. As the worship team is coming up, I'd like to give an invitation. Our closing time and songs are not just to sing, of course, they're to worship and to adore the Lord and to praise him. I invite you to do that. But also, the reason we put these songs at the end like this worship time, is to make application. Is there something in your life you need to cut away this gift? Is there something in your life you say, you know what, I've been thinking of jumping ship. I need to get rid of that possibility. I need to confess it, repent of it, turn from it. If you need to do that in this time. No one's going to know about it but you and the Lord, but make sure we do it. Are you just kind of hungry to seek his will, but you maybe want to have a specific time? You said, Lord, I surrender to that will. For some, you know he's calling you to something, and maybe it's time to say, I hear it. Lord, I hear you. Let's go for it. Whatever it might represent, the altar is available for all of that and more. Just to surrender, to cut away gifts, to thank him for his plan, his purposes, to just worship him some. If it's available to be used. If you need some altar time, do it. For all of us, let's respond to what we've heard. Heavenly Father, that's our great need. You speak to us because you know what we need. Purpose, life, to go forward this whole journey with you. Lord, whatever we're at, wherever we're at in all this, whatever's going on, Lord, help us. Give it all to you. Lord, for some, maybe just need to lighten the load. If there's someone that's just cast on you something they've been trying to carry, a burden, help them to do that. Whatever it is this morning, work in our midst. And Lord, may you find us a people. It says that Paul took courage. That suggests, Lord, that he was struggling. But Lord, you weren't down on him. You sent some people to give him courage. And then it says, and he thanked you, Lord. Help us to thank you even now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for the work that you're doing even now in our midst. Whether it was those who came forward or remained in the seat, Lord, you're moving across all of us. Lord, you're touching hearts. You're moving within us. We thank you for that. And so, Lord, whatever this time has meant to each one, when it's from you, it's good stuff. So work your work, Lord. Lord, thank you that you have plans and purposes. Thank you that there's a calling. Thank you for places in this body. Lead us, guide us, fill us, use us. As we've sung, Lord, help us to go live. Let's be all about you, Lord. We cast all this other stuff on you. We give it to you, Lord. Lord, it's all rooted in that great love you have for us, the change you made, this fellowship with you. Lord, now just help us to go walk it out. And as we do, Lord, may it all just testify of your great love. Truly, may it give you glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. Let's close in song.